Chip Lear has spent his adult life in the fishing business. He's been a guide, he's been a promoter, and most recently he's been in the thick of Ben Fish, which is an advocacy group for anglers and guides in Minnesota. It all plays out when we talk fishing in 2020 amidst the pandemic and the restarting of guide service. So many things to cover with Chip Lear coming up.
Fishing pool keys, tackle box in my hand. Gonna cast a few lines with my toes in the sand. Pulling in a big catch makes me feel like a man. But the wife, she just don't understand. I love walleye, perch, trout, and bass. And if you don't like fishing, you can kiss my four-stroke right in the back. Cause the fishes all tremble at the thought of me when I'm fishing Paul Bunyan country.
This is Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Always fun to check in with Chip Lear, one of our favorite guests on Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, Hall of Fame angler and promoter in Paul Bunyan Country for a long time. And, you know, Chip, I think a few weeks before this show kicked off, we actually got to talk about, and just as COVID-19 was hitting and the shutdown was just beginning, we talked a little bit about what might play out. And, yeah, some of our worst fears were realized, particularly from a guide standpoint, where they had a horrible winter to begin with, and then they weren't able to guide for a couple of weeks. And I'm just thankful that it was just a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. I mean, guiding near and dear to my heart is how I got my start in the sport fishing industry, was taking people fishing and teaching them firsthand. And it's such an integrated part of our northern Minnesota culture that having that sideline, even for the short period of time that it was during the open water season, has been, you know, it's been disheartening to say the least. But we're back up. Anglers are fishing again, and guides are teaching people one-on-one how to catch more fish and showing them the great natural resources that we have here.
Chip, you've also been involved in MinFish since it got started, and MinFish really showing, you know, what it's there for and why it exists by with what it did with COVID-19 and working with the governor and advocating on behalf of anglers and guides.
And that's what MinFish is. It's a nonprofit group that represents, you know, it's free to anybody who decides they want to become a member, and we represent the sport fishing industry and all anglers inside Minnesota. It's a $4.2 billion industry. But it was, I think it was a great use of our resources at MinFish to not only work with the Department of Natural Resources and the governor's office and trying to find some sort of resolution to getting guides back on the water doing what they do, but doing it in a safe manner. Because, you know, people's health comes first and foremost, and being able to practice these outdoor recreational activities that are near and dear to our hearts in a way that is safe for people to participate in is really key. And that's what MinFish did. We've got big ears listening to all sides of, I don't want to use the word argument, but all sides to possibly view this and determine a way that guides could continue and expose people to natural resources without overexposing them to the risks and health dangers of COVID-19.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to get into the politics of anything other than to say I tend to be a both and guy. And to me, it was a situation where we had to be very aggressive. And yet at the same time, after a little while, you have to get realistic and realize you've got to find a way to get people to make a living again. And so I think we're in a situation now where we want to make sure these guides and anybody who's reopening their businesses, what no matter what they think about restrictions, abide by restrictions so they can't come back and bite us.
Well, they're here, and it's real, and it's something we have to deal with. Puffing up your chest and pounding your chest just because you may have a viewpoint that may be different than the governor's or some of the restrictions in place is not going to allow us to fish more often or get us back to a reasonable or a normal lifestyle quicker. it is real. It's happening. It's something we're going to have to deal with. And I think that's where MnFish really stood strong. There's a small group of us on a COVID-19 committee that is advising the executive board of MnFish that is in direct communications with the Department of Natural Resources and the governor's office. Multiple letters went back and forth. Multiple phone conversations took place trying to come up with a resolution that allowed everybody to participate at a level that they were comfortable with. Thus, guides are back on the water and catching fish, and we think we're doing it in a way that nullifies the spread of COVID-19. Now, that said, we can't get, don't count your chickens before they're hatched, because if we start to abuse this privilege, and I use the word privilege because they can shut us down tomorrow, if we respect that, we will be able to continue and maybe even grow from it and get more. Because right now we're limited to 1 to 2 anglers with each guide. It's one-on-one or one-on-two person guided or instructional activities in the outdoor, and we must maintain accordance with outdoor recreation guidelines. Those are going to evolve and change over time. We need to keep in touch with that, and if we respect that, we're going to continue to be able to guide all the visitors that come to northern Minnesota, and that is so important to our economy here. We don't want to lose any of that over our short 20-week season.
We certainly do not. So, Chip, is there a place guides can go to see what is expected of them and what the parameters are?
Well, that's all going to be through the state of Minnesota. They're ultimately going to have all the final say in all the outdoor recreation guidelines that I'm referring to. You just get to the state of Minnesota, and they have a very nice COVID-19 section of the state website that you can find anything, any type of information you're looking for. Now, of course, MnFish is staying on top of that. Yeah, you're welcome to follow us on Facebook. We encourage you to do that. Most importantly, we encourage you to get to the MnFish website, min-fish.com, and join. It's free. If you want to be a paid member, you can do that. But right now it is organized, supported, and funded by the fishing manufacturers inside the state of Minnesota. Those are the ones that are footing the bill for MnFish and making sure that you've got your voice is heard inside St. Paul, but it's free. In fact, we encourage you to get there. Side note here, Kevin, it just so happened to go here. We had this going long before COVID-19, but we're doing a promotion this summer for MnFish. Every new member gets a chance to win a free houseboat trip to Rainy Lake or a day in the boat with Al Linder. So It's not only free, you can you might find yourself fishing with Al or on a houseboat trip when you're allowed to do so.
Very cool. I think both of those things would be well worth winning, no doubt. So Chip, going back to your guiding days, what an impact it would be to lose that revenue stream. For a lot of guides, it's a partial revenue stream. They have other jobs, but for some guides, that's it. That's what they do. I'm just so thankful that at least the small guys can get out there and make a little money.
Well, and it's what's really interesting about all of this is one of the things that we've seen come from our stay-at-home guidelines is we've seen ourselves grow in fishing license sales. There is a uptick in fishing license sales across the board. There is a big number uptick for the number of youth fishing licenses that have actually come to sales this spring. So it's really neat to see the resurgence in fishing. Now that guides can take people out, we're going to get them on the water and enjoy themselves that much more. You know, this could work as a springboard moving forward, right? This could be a whole nother thrust of people being exposed to our sport, which ultimately, the more people we get exposed to the sport of fishing and get out there and have a positive experience, the better case that we're going to have for long-term protection of our natural resources. Because it's the anglers and the hunters that take care of the natural resources the most, and that's why we push and advocate to get as many people participating in those sports as possible.
Oh, so true. Very true. And I'm thinking, with more youth anglers out there, and maybe some of them going on guide trips, really important. And guides are really good at this anyway. I just think it's worth underscoring. Make sure those first-time young anglers are having a blast.
It's about bending a rod, right? I mean, we just want to get out there. We want something to bite our line and pull on the string a little bit and makes everybody's face smile, especially for what we've been through the last couple of months, being forced to stay home, much more increased screen time, and all the things that are completely opposite of getting outdoors and enjoying the natural resources. And, you know, just be simple and be cognizant of how you're doing it and how you're participating in it and being respectful of others in places that are pinch points, whether it be at a boat ramp or, you know, don't overcrowd your boat. Don't do things that are going to cause attention or bring attention to you by completely disregarding the suggestions and the regulations that have been put forward.
Fishing and fishing events in the pandemic era. Chip Lear is my guest. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. I'm Kev Jackson. Chip Lear, my guest today. I think one of the things that's going to be tough for a lot of communities, certainly I'm thinking of Walker and here in Bemidji, two really big fishing events that raise a lot of money for, you know, community needs and community groups. That's a lost revenue source this year. So that's a side effect of this pandemic that is really unfortunate.
Well, there's a lot of charity events all across North America that have utilized fishing to raise money for a number of other nonprofits. And that, you know what, but that's true across the board. It isn't just fishing. I mean, there's a lot of nonprofit fundraising events that have had to not happen at the moment. So we're all going to have to be a little bit more creative in how we go about doing that. Tournament regulations are changing dramatically and have changed dramatically because of our C-19 requirements or recreation guidelines is what I guess I should say. So we're seeing that, but at the same time, there is ways to move forward. And now, a perfect example is the fishing challenge down in Brainerd, Minnesota, which is going to have a digitally based fishing tournament. It's an event that raises money for a nonprofit charity, and they're going to go ahead with that tournament, and they can. They're not going to have any group organized rules meeting. They're not going to have any weigh-in. It's basically all done digitally over a app, and they can do that. People can still enter, and, you know, that's where the fundraising comes from anyway, is these entries and monies that come out of those entries that go straight to the nonprofit or the charity. So there's a way to get these things done. It's just going to take we're going to have to learn and on the fly here and just make some adjustments to reach our overall end goal.
Yeah, yep. It's not going to be, like you say, not just the fishing tournaments. The golf tournaments are going to be the same way. They're going to have to find new creative ways, at least for a year or so, to make these things happen because, you know, there's a lot of community groups that rely on those funds and they need them.
Absolutely. I mean, at the same token, I mean, I'm associated with the National Walleye Tour, and mm-hmm. we travel to multiple states across the country. We have, for lack of a better term, it's old school fishing tournaments. You go out, you catch your fish, you put them in a basket, you bring them in, and you go across a stage. We put them on a scale. There's a crowd of people there cheering for every ounce that hits that scale. That's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen this particular summer. We're going to have to wait and see how things move forward. I mean, it's all digitally and electronically, just like we had in Bemidji here this past weekend. I know Northwoods Bait had an event. Kudos to Dan Root and Craig Peterson put it together. They had six digital donkeys. I think they were over 27 pounds for their fish on Lake Bemidji, but what I'm getting there is it's a whole event that took place all digitally, electronically, no weigh-in, no rules meeting. They went out, they went fishing, they had it. Now, granted, it was a little smaller. It's less than 25 teams, so it doesn't need a state permit to participate. But it happened and executed, and people were able to scratch their competitive itch in the world of tournament fishing. And that's the kind of stuff we're going to see from this point forward. I know that on Mille Lacs Lake, for example, coming up on the 29th and the 30th of May, Angler Insight Management is going to have a 30-boat tournament. They've got a permit. They're allowed to do that. But again, it is all with a new set of guidelines where they are going to stagger launches, stagger starts, and there is no actual weigh-in. Anglers are going to turn in. They're pacing themselves. They come in because it's a catch-photo-release type of tournament. They turn in their scorecards at the end of the day. Speaking with the tournament director there, Denny Fox, my understanding is they have a system that they're pretty competent, and they've submitted to the Department of Natural Resources that should work well. And we're learning as we go here. We're just things are moving forward. There's probably going to have to be some adjustments on the fly to make it all fit within our outdoor recreation guidelines and be safe. But when it comes out the other end, we're going to figure out a way to get this done.
And the National Walleye Tour, where are they at with something like this, or is it just not work for them?
National Walleye Tour is looking at every possible conceivable way to fully execute our four-stop tournament circuit this year between states and how we go about handling those events. There's a lot of decisions yet to be made on the National Walleye Tour, and frankly, they just haven't decided. They're, at this point, pretty convinced they still want to continue with a scaled weigh-in. So it's a matter of how those are going to take place, because that's how the tournament is built, that's how the tournament was built, and that's how the television has been set. So it remains to be seen how that will shape out, but I know that they are working on it diligently. I get a call about once a week to review ideas and see which way it's going to end up going forward. But there's a lot of work yet to be done. I mean, if there was a year that you're watching, you know, things change in the tournament world, this is definitely it, because there's nothing that isn't being considered. And it's not like anybody's trying to get around regulations. We're trying to make the best of the situation that we can and make it the safest for the anglers as possible. What's unique about, like, National Walleye Tour is it's a pro and co event. So we have different anglers from different states randomly paired together in boats. And right now that system just plain does not work in a lot of states. So you've got to take a hard, good look at how we're handling these events and regroup and decide how to move forward. And what's wonderful about it is the state of Minnesota's Department of Natural Resources, as well as everybody's Department of Natural Resources, has been exceptional to work with and help us try to achieve our goal of pulling off these events.
Fish and Paul Bunyan Country, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. We're celebrating our 30th year, and we've never had one quite like this. COVID-19, of course, has made us say we've never seen one quite like this about everything we've done since March. However, we are able to get out there and get some fishing in. We're trying to figure out ways to do tournaments, and some of the high schoolers have come up with some pretty innovative ways to make it happen. So, Chip, there, in addition to the National Walleye Tour, there is a student tournament aspect as well. How's that going to play out this year?
Well, it's been really interesting. You know, high school fishing is at an incredible level all across North America. I mean, we're seeing numbers that are unprecedented. Never seen anything like it before. And this year is no different with the increased license sales. So we're seeing a lot of participation from kids and interest in the sport in general. But so far to date, the way these events have generally worked has been one adult and a couple of kids in each boat. Now, obviously, a lot of that works out. Those are three different households. That is not under our guidelines at the moment. That breaks all the rules. So what's interesting is, like, the student angler tournament trail here in Minnesota is moving forward. They're having events. I believe that they're having an event here. I don't know exactly what the dates are, but I know their next event, they've already got like 150 participants in this event. And again, this is an all digital based event. And unlike the way it was, where you had to be in a boat and you had to, you know, this is, you can be in a boat, you can be in a kayak, you can be in a canoe, You could enter this from shore fishing if you wanted. They're using the app that was designed by the Classic Bass, the Champions Tour, which is a bass tour here in the state of Minnesota. And it's a really interesting way that they're going to go about doing this. They think that they're going to have somewhere between 200 to 300 participants in this because it's a statewide event. You just enter it as a youth. You can get inside this event and take part. And it all is part of the Student Angler Tournament Trail. So they're doing their best to promote fishing at a high school level, participation. You can be as competitive as you want, and you can fish any way you want. So it's really, really neat to see. The cool part is there's no scales. There's you don't have to meet at a boat ramp. There's no meeting that goes along with this. You just enter it, get in there, and go fishing. So it's really a great way to grow the sport of fishing in a new way. And that's kind of where I'm going with all the tournaments that are out there. You know what? There's different ways to do things, and my hat goes off to them for figuring out a way that we can continue to inspire young people to go fishing and doing it in a way that they may be even more comfortable than old school, because they're doing it digitally, electronically, and over their own phone.
I was just going to say that doing something digitally is like second nature to them. They're much more adaptable to a new way of a tournament than guys like me would be.
Trust me, they've been correcting. They've been working as an IT person for the chaperone in the boat for the last couple of years. That is my guess, at least. So. And it's really interesting how this is all going to work. They're going to have another event, I know, coming up here soon. I believe they're scheduled on June 21st to have a championship type event on Leech Lake. Now, how that all works out with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources and how they're going to handle tournaments, you know, so far they haven't pulled permits from anybody. From an actual tournament. Now, what takes place later in the summer, we'll have to see how it goes. But right now, app-based, broad, we're getting on the water. We're moving forward. It's really neat to see.
Well, let's talk just general fishing. How's it been for you the last couple of weeks?
Well, I did get out on opening weekend, and I was really cold.
Yeah.
We warmed up a little bit. My normal opening day tradition is to spend the day with my wife, and we did that. We went out on our home lake on Leech, and it was a little bit chilly. We did not jump in the boat early in the morning. In fact, we would let the snow showers dissipate in the afternoon and didn't hit the water till later in the afternoon, but we were pleasantly surprised. We just went out and dragged Northland stand-up fireball jigs on shallow water grass flats, and we plucked away at fish, and we caught four, we kept three, and lost a couple along the way in our 2.5 or 3 hour outing that day. So it was just fine. Now, this weekend, the last couple of days here, we went out on Leech again. Sunny, little bit of wind, and much warmer temperature, so much more pleasurable to be on the water. But most importantly, those increase in water temperatures and air degrees increased the bite substantially. There was no shortage of fish this weekend. Again, finding ourselves pretty much anywhere from 7 to 10 feet of water, but a lot of really aggressive fish. This time, more willing to chase and actively jig shiner minnows. So if you were snapping your jig and popping your jig and hopping it and popping it, the fish were more willing to chase. They weren't just picking it up as it was dragged across the bottom. So then those are great signs of spring. We're getting just that much closer, and the bite's going to get better and better. You know what? Netflix will be there when you get back. You saw most of it the last couple months. Put it all away. Get in the boat. Go fishing, because the next 2 weeks is the best fishing of the year, no doubt.
There's no question about it. And plus, bass angling kicks in as well. And I'm guessing bass angling is going to be, with the weather that we've got, it's going to be very, very good as well.
Going to be wonderful. We're very lucky to live here and participate here. And I mean, just think if we couldn't take part in these activities, we'd be just losing our minds. So I think it's really helping our outdoor recreation. Really helps add a balance to my personal life. It's really needed. Just this, it's great to to do all sorts of things. But I know that I need a little bit of time outdoors every single week in order to give myself a proper perspective of life.
Okay. Well, before we wrap it up, I did want to check back in and talk about Grace Lear a little bit. She didn't make the top 10. I was kind of bummed.
Well, great. Yeah, so are we. The whole family's a little bummed, but at the same time, what a fantastic experience. My niece Grace Lear making it to top 10 on American Idol. It's been a really fun ride, and she has got a wonderful outlook on life because this has really been a great kickstart to her already booming career. So she's done well to date. I know that she watched her Instagram account grow by the tens of thousands during the whole process of climbing up the ladder at American Idol. She met a lot of people, and all those will bode well for her career. Most importantly, she's pursuing a dream, a lot like the fishing guides that we talked about on this show right here. She loves to perform. She loves music, and same as why we all got into guiding in the fishing industry to begin with, because it's a passion that we can't not do.
Well, someday, if we're allowed to have a music festival again, it'd be cool to get her in your neck of the woods.
I think that she would be fantastic at Country Jam here in Walker, Minnesota. We're going to have to work on them to put an invite out to Grace, because the nice thing about it, she comes to town, she has free lodging at my house.
Right, absolutely. You can help save him some money.
Yeah.
And you got a whole year to work on it.
That would be the deciding factor, too. I'm sure it would all come around the lodging decision, though. No, we love to have her up here. She does get to Minnesota quite a bit. They've got a cabin. Her family's got a cabin up in Ely, Minnesota. So she does come through here every so often.
All right. Well, if we're hitting the water, best advice you have for us as far as what we should be presenting to the walleyes and the bass?
Well, really, this is the time of year that live bait really can dominate. A jig and minnow presentation right now on most all of our area lakes as these weeds begin to emerge is pretty hard to beat, especially with the water temperatures that we're at right now, which is in the 50s. It's just a matter of what style jig and what type of minnow, and you mix it up and play with it, and you're gonna get beat when it comes to the bass fishing. Just get out there and cover some water as best you can. Spinner baits and things that can make contact with fish by covering a lot of water quickly. You're going to see them up in the shallow water. Just find those shallow water bays where it have warmed up a little bit, and you're going to find some life up there, and there's going to be a lot more than just bass up there as well.
All right. Chip Lear, outstanding angler, Hall of Famer. He's been involved in fishing most of, if not his entire adult life, and maybe before that. But, Chip, you have so many insights for us. In a year like this, really good to hear those various aspects that you've been a part of. So thanks for taking the time. Thanks for sharing with us your thoughts, and enjoy your time on the water.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be here, and stay in touch, everybody. Get to chiplear.com. I do have a newsletter there if you want to put your name in. I'll keep you posted on all that's happening in my fishing world.
Always great to have Chip on the show, and we've got a great lineup of guests coming up this week. Paul Nelson comes your way, John Hoyer, Tony Roach is going to join us, Isaiah Hahn over in the Park Rapids area, and Travis Peterson before the week is out. Plus, we got a Lake of the Week to feature as well. It's all coming up this week.
Fish, yeah. Ball, ball, yeah. Country.